Yes, Kevin and Davina, if you guys would stand just for a minute. It's okay, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But I do want to say yesterday, this couple here was married yesterday in the church, so we want to congratulate them. Yes. 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 So that was good. That was a nice wedding. So congratulations from the church and all that is here. So yes. And yeah. There's a lot going on out there, isn't there, in the world? Some good stuff, yeah, and then some stuff that's not so great. Yeah. So, usually we preach expository messages. Today we're going to want to do a topical message. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to start with a question. Do you really want to grow as a believer? Do you want to grow in your walk with the Lord? It's easy. Sometimes it's like, yes, I do, but we add things to it. But in general, all of us should want to grow in the Lord. So this morning, I want to work with that on growing with the Lord. So this is a topical message, so we'll be in some different areas. But I want to help us. We have a lot. We've been having some new believers here and there. Just maybe it's a recap for some of you. But just I wanted to share with you some things that would help you grow as a believer, the things to watch, things to help you grow as a believer, and then, but we will get back into our regulars later. But I do want to remind you, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said this at the very end, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. To go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." There is a spiritual, there is a growth piece with coming to Christ, being baptized, and learning, being discipled, and being taught the ways of the Lord. So I think there's a draw for all of us in our spirit, Holy Spirit, to want to grow in our walk with the Lord. So I hope today that you can say, yes, I want to grow as a believer, because I'm telling you, if you look at Barna, you look at Barna's research, you look at Pew Research, you look at Lifeway Research, and what they're going to tell you is church attendance in the majority is declining, even though there's some churches that are growing, and general churches are closing. Just even in our Southern Baptist world, there are 500 churches in Alabama that have no pastor. That's a lot. That's 500 churches just in the state of Alabama that have no pastor. So the seminaries, it seemed like they can be full at times. But then you know, men that want to go off and do other things. The church seems like it's declining in some sense since COVID. You know, 9/11 was a big hit. Then COVID was another hit. Things changed in America. Things changed even in the church. The message doesn't change. The love of God doesn't change. But what we see here is that right now we're seeing that even churches are closing right now and they're turning them into houses. I've seen one here. I've seen there's one out in Columbia City. There's another one out to the Syracuse area that I heard that, so churches are closing, especially the rural churches. The rural churches where the older people are going, they're not refilling that. The churches are declining. So I want to help you today on how, because if that's happening, then we notice this, that one, people aren't sharing the gospel. A lot of people aren't sharing the gospel. A lot of people are just, you know, their attendance and worship has dropped a lot. So I want to share just seven things today that I hope that can help you, and hopefully you pick one of these up and to apply that to your life to help you grow in your walk as a believer. Now I want to remind you, we're all at different places. We all have different levels of faith, but we all have Jesus if we're believers. Amen? And well, I want to grow. I want to be a better Christian this year than I was last year. I want to be more faithful this year than I was 2 or 3 years ago. And I hope that you do too. So I want to share with you, the first thing I want to talk to you about is prayer. Number one is prayer. Now, I believe that we as believers, we all pray, but I want to help you with something here that's helping me. But also says, I want to share in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. So it tells us kind of how to pray, and then we are to pray at all times. All times. We're to pray for other people and just continue to keep in conversation and prayer with the Lord. But I want to, and we know that, but I want to help you with something with that. I want to challenge you when you wake up in the morning to pray first. That begins, so when you pray in the morning before you grab that phone, and not much news has happened since the last time you grabbed that phone, and I know the bright light can make you go get awake, but I'm telling you, if you can spend in the morning, spend time with the Lord before you go out and do your day, spend a few minutes with the Lord, let Him be the first one you talk to, pray to Him, and pray. I'm telling you what it does, it sets your day. You're asking the Lord to be a part of your day, not just a part of your mess ups and the messes that goes on in your life during the day when it happens at work or at school or whatever it happens. But in the beginning, you're asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be a part of that day. And what it does is you're talking to the miracle worker, the Lord Jesus Christ. It sets your tone. It really does. Your attitude, it just sets your tone. And it brings you in connection with God the first thing in the morning. And you say, my mercies are new every morning in Lamentations. Especially for those who have night terrors and nightmares on a regular basis. You're working, no process. Man, you just need to be in that prayer mode. You need to be in that prayer in the morning. It does. It just sets up your day for the whole day. We got to quit thinking we need God when we need Him. No, we need Him every day and every moment. We need Him all the time. We need Him all the time. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. So many scriptures on praying to the Lord. And you'll find yourself growing when you're not praying about yourself all the time. I'm telling you, in the morning, it sets everything up when you start to pray in the morning, when you begin to pray in the morning. And number two, what it does, number two is this, align your steps. Start aligning your steps. You know where you're going in the day for the most part. Align your steps in life. Align your steps. And maybe you might need to realign your steps. Anytime you walk and veer from God, it doesn't work out well, does it? It doesn't work out that well. In this church, a lot of people will go away for a while and they'll come back. And you know usually when they come back? When they're in trouble. Now we're here, we're arms open wide. And there's people I won't see for 2 years. There's people I might not see for 6 months. There might be people I haven't seen for 4 or 5 years. And they will come back when they're in trouble. And it's usually not that when they're just getting into trouble. It's when it's all catching up to them. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so we need to learn to align our steps. To align our steps. Think about your steps. You need to align your steps. Proverbs 18:9 says this, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. All this is today is just really drawing closer to the Lord and allowing Him to be not just part of your life, but to be your life. To be your life. And that is part of that growth, is to align your steps with Him. Proverbs 3:5-6 is a famous one, but it is this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. What are these scriptures saying? That God has a path for you. And let me ask you a question. Are you on His path? Are you the path that He's laid out in front of you? Are you on that path? And let me remind you also that the path that He has you on sometimes is not an easy path. It's not easy. And you can say it. Sometimes it's not easy being me. I had a prayer the other day. I was like, yes, Lord, why you put up with me? I said that prayer many times. Why you put up with me? I've caught myself belly aching to you in prayer and don't understand why you're still listening. I think all I did was talk about myself for 20 minutes. But he is so good, isn't he? I want to remind you that if your heart is hurting today, the Lord knows. It's just if you're going to let him in. And if you can align your steps in the direction that he wants, even though you may not understand it, he knows best. Psalms 37 says this in verse 23 and 24. A person's steps are established by the Lord, and he takes pleasure in his way. Though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed because the Lord supports him with his hand. There's times in your walk with the Lord. There's times in your walk in this world as a believer that it just seems like that you keep falling down. You keep falling down. And we keep focused on the falling down, but we forget that we weren't down there too long and somehow we got back up. And that's the hand of the Lord working in our lives. And I think sometimes we miss seeing the Lord work in our lives because we keep focusing on the things that are driving us down and being stumbling blocks in front of us. There is a call to align our steps with the Lord. All this is just pulling us closer. All this is pulling us closer to the Lord. Some of you know, I know what it was like back in the day. I knew what it was like when I wasn't walking down the path that God had for me. Number one, I knew it here. Nobody had to tell me. I knew it here. But who was telling me that? The Holy Spirit. God's Word. If you would even read that. But when you are away from the Lord, you begin to go down the wrong paths. And you know that when you start drifting away from the Lord, things begin to fall apart in your life. And we even lie to ourselves sometimes and we think it's okay. And we lie to ourselves saying things are not as bad as they are. But I want to tell you, when you're not in God's will, you're not following the ways of the Lord, it's already bad. You don't have to say it. Meanwhile, churches are closing. People are stopped going to church. This is something that's happening. People are starting to fall in the ways of the world, pushing what they know about God away, falling into the ways of the world, falling down that path. Satan has nothing to offer you that's worth anything. He absolutely has nothing to offer you. Number three is worship. Go to church. But I just said, the numbers are declining. Sometimes in a church, especially sometimes an independent church, non-denomination, sometimes there's a focus where even a Baptist church, sometimes there could be an inward focus where you really don't see what's going on out there. You have to put your head out of your area and go out and kind of look and go out and visit. And you guys know sometimes, like, I go out and I speak other places about ministries and those things, and I see what's happening. And number one thing is pastors come up, and sometimes they'll say, well, there's not going to be a, not sure where the crowd is or where we're going to be. We weren't where we were last year. And I begin to hear that more and more. And the pastors are saying that people are just drifting away. But we're called to go to church. We're called to worship. We are called to worship. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, which is kind of a well-known one. Let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I had a really good friend of mine a couple of months ago, three or four months ago. We got together for lunch. We haven't seen each other for over a year. And I asked him, hey, man, are you still going to XY Church? This is in Fort Wayne. And he's like, no, we do the online thing. I was like, I mean, you watch the church online? No. I catch a podcast when I want. When I'm looking for something, I just look for it online. I do that. I said, are you telling me that you stop going? He goes, Jimmy, besides Hebrews, tell me, where does it say that we should assemble ourselves? And I'm like, oh, brother, come on, man. You're better than that. You're better than that. You used to play music in a big worship band in a much bigger church than what we have. And was well known in that world of musicians and things. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And what I found out in conversation, his words were slipping more secular. There was swear word after swear word. Things, his conversations were not godly. And I said, this guy has told, he isn't just about the church, that he just faded. He just slid off. And the scriptures tells us in Hebrews that we are to, when we come to church, we are to not neglect to gather together, because we should be an encouragement to one another. We should be an encouragement to one another. Listen, sometimes the preacher, whoever's preaching, isn't having the best day. Sometimes you're coming in, you're not having the best day, but you know what? You come in and you give your praise to the Lord, you get your worship to the Lord. I'm telling you, you'll not walk out the same way you came in. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. And so I shared with him some scriptures. And I can tell this, folks. Listen, I can tell it convicted him. It wasn't who I am, but I knew who was convicting him. Y'all know that one that convicts? It's the Holy Spirit. And, yeah. So I'm still praying for him. The Psalms 150 says this, verse 1 and 5. I don't read all, but it says, hallelujah, praise God in His sanctuary. In the sanctuary. Praise Him with resounding cymbals and praise Him with the clashing cymbals and all that is there in the music world. So basically, we are called to praise Him in the sanctuary. This is what our sanctuary is. But also with all the instruments that we do that. And so we want to do that. And God said, listen, I've shared this before. I can come in here because I'm from Columbia City. I'm going to come down First Street. And I'm going to slide down another street wherever I turn to get here. Parking on the streets, this is why, folks, we got to reach this community. The streets are full of cars. People, if you want to find somebody home, just go home, go to their home on Sunday morning. They're home. If you're not home on Sunday morning, you're at one other place. Usually it is church. Okay? For the majority. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. I write these things to you, hoping to come to you soon. But if I should be delayed, I have written so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. What's God's household? It is the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. There is a call for us to worship. There's a call for us to attend church, to not just for ourselves, but to be an encouragement to one another. So the Bible says to share our burdens to one another. We are to share those things and to be a part of it. And if we come in and we're dragging ourselves into church, I know that every Sunday you're ready to go, but you do it because you know you're committed. But if you can't come into Sundays wanting to worship, wanting to praise the Lord, there's something wrong. There is something wrong. So if you want to grow, kick your attendance up a little bit. Don't be a one time a monther. Don't come once every 6 weeks. Add to that. And like I think I heard Phil say that we have a Wednesday night service. Our Wednesday night service is a full service, just like this. We do add prayer time and testimony time, but it is a full worship. We sing, preach, we pray, and we do those things. And so we want to do that in the midweek. And I want to tell you, people that go on Wednesday night, and when they miss Wednesday night, usually what happens, one of two things. One, they will come and they'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't make it on Wednesday night. You don't have to apologize to me, you just didn't make it. Number two is, man, I just don't like to miss Wednesday nights because I need that midweek service. And I want to tell you, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm just saying this. When you come to the midweek service, I see a difference on those who come on midweek service. I do. I see a big difference. So if you want to up your game and up your walk with the Lord, listen. How is it that Jesus gave all that He had and we can't give? And we can't give. Just another hour. I'm just saying. I spend time with who I love. And I love my wife. and I love Jesus. It isn't about coming to hear me. It's about coming to worship God in the house of God. Are we that busy that we cannot give God another hour to say, you know what, in the midday? There's even a psalm that says how great it is to come and worship God in the evening. In the sanctuary in the evening. We may not do Sunday nights, but we do Wednesday nights. Another way to grow in your walk with the Lord is also to pick up that thing that you brought in today. And it's called the Bible. You got that Bible, that big Bible, that little Bible, or it's even on your phone. And I've learned to use it on my phone a little bit. Even got a little highlighter in there. But I like my Bible. I like my physical Bible. But there are times when I will use it when I'm Googling it up. What a great gift that we have in social media. What was that verse? And you can Google it up. Whatever it is, you need to read your Bible. But here it is. We were just talking about doing those steps just a few seconds ago, aligning your steps. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet." If I'm realigning my feet and I'm going to go to where God wants me to and follow, it is the word that guides me. His word guides me. Now, the first thing I find out with people that are reading the Bible is this. They say, they go gung-ho. I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year. And if you do that, praise the Lord, you do that. I don't do that, but if you do that, praise the Lord. That's how you do it. I can't do that because when I get stuck, and right now I'm stuck in Jeremiah, and I just see a couple of verses, and I'm like, I got to plant myself right in there. I'm like, why is this happening? Why is that happening? So I just can't do that. But when you are reading God's Word, you pray before you read it. Ask God to give you insight when you're reading it. I want to help you with this growth piece on reading God's Word. It's very simple. Pick a book out of the Bible. Now, if you want to run into Leviticus or Ezekiel or Revelations right out the gate, you might struggle a little bit. But if you can pick a gospel, pick the book of Genesis, whatever it is. I'm going to challenge you to do this. If you want to grow in your walk, just read 2 chapters a day. And if you miss, because life got busy, this is where don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Sometimes I have to miss mine because I'm like, man, I really got to work on this message. I got myself caught up in this message, I got to do a little more research in it, whatever it may be. And then I got to put that away right now. I got to do that, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to it. So if you just pick up one book, and somebody said, "What book?" Listen, pick up the book of John. Pick up the book of Matthew. Pick up the book of Genesis. Start somewhere and just read 2 chapters a day. I'm going to tell you within a week. And at the end of that week, you're going to read 2 chapters. You're going to get about 10, you're going to 10 to 14 chapters in. I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel good about it. And you know what's going to really feel good? This. Not your mind. Not just your mind. Not just your heart. I'm talking right here. Your being. You're going to feel good about reading God's Word. And so many people say, well, I don't understand it. Listen, I'm going to ask you this. Are you reading it? You can't understand something you're not reading. But I guarantee you, if you read 2 chapters, you're going to get something out of it. So that's what I'm saying. 2 chapters. Jesus says this. Jesus answered. He says, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And we believe God's word is the Bible. And we're going to read that. And that's going to be my spiritual food for the day. But here we want to put the Bible down here somewhere. We say we put it up here. We want to put it down here because we have other things that are more and more and more and more important. But remember, go back to the first thing I said. I'm going to start my day in prayer. And if we say we give God that permission, we say, "God, lead me in this day," these things will follow. Okay? So work on that. Get one book of the Bible. Just read 2 chapters a day. If you can only get 1 chapter in, don't beat yourself up. If you miss 2 days, don't beat yourself up. If you go on vacation and you take your Bible and you only did it once, it's okay. You're going to come back and restart it right back up. How many of y'all know you need to read God's Word a little more? Just a little more. Just a little more. If you can read 2 chapters a day, it'll help you grow spiritually. Another one, number 5. Got to move this thing along here real quick. Number five, you need to check yourself. You ever heard that? Check yourself out the door before you come in? Anywhere? Maybe that's an old ex-military thing, but you need to check yourself out the door, soldier. You need to come back in. You need to go back out and come back in. What is that? It's called attitude. I don't know how God puts up with the attitude that we have. I have not always had the best attitude toward life, toward himself, toward whatever's in front of me. But I know that I need to go back out. How many of y'all have done this? You started in prayer. The Holy Spirit says, you need to check yourself here, bud. There's times when I started prayer, I had to step out of my prayer, calm myself down, and then step back into prayer. Because I was going in with an agenda. I was going in with not the right attitude. And so it's almost like the prayer before the prayer, but here it is. Attitude. God sees a bad attitude a mile away. He does. God sees a bad attitude a mile away. Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, what the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Isn't that what we want, to know what God wants from us? And if we can do that, we do that. It comes from their mind. Attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Number two is forgiveness. And it's a little section about checking yourself. One is attitude. Number two is forgiveness. It's going to be hard to find blessings when you got grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness towards someone. Folks, I'm telling you, preachers are not exempt to that. If anybody can get cut from a congregation, it is pastors, the people. People's words hurt. And pastors, will say, I always say, listen, you want to get in ministry, you've got to have some rhino skin. And that a rhino skin is thick. It is really thick. And I want to tell you, people hurt pastors. I've been hurt here. You know what? It's tough. It's tough. It is tough. And you've been hurt as well by other believers. But I'm telling you, you work that out with the Lord, because if you don't work on that and you hold bitterness and grudges, I'm telling you, it's going to be hard to feel and receive the blessings of God. So we need to work on that. If I want to grow in my walk with the Lord, I need to make sure I'm working on forgiveness as well. And number three, is check myself. I need to make sure I have peace. If I don't have peace in my heart and my spirit, something's off. Something is off. If you don't have peace, something is wrong. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So if I don't have peace, something's off. Something is off. And if I want to grow, I need to check myself to make sure I have peace. All these things are drawing us closer to the Lord and actually spending time with the Lord. Number six is serve. Do something. Do something. Just do something. If you come into church on Sunday and you see stuff all over, if you see things, people laid this on candy wrappers or pop cans or whatever, and you say, I'm coming in and that's what I'm going to do on Sunday morning. I'm going to pick up everybody's trash or whatever. Just do something. God sees it. But I'm going to ask you, how in the world can you grow if you're not serving the one that has served you? Just ask. Just ask him. If you want to grow, you're going to have to serve. In some capacity. Doesn't mean you have to have this big position, that position, that position. But you need to serve somewhere. And if you want to start down at the soup kitchen, meal ministry, you want to go down there and you want to serve down there, and that's where you're going to start serving, do it. And you check yourself. Because people aren't going to look like you. They're not going to act like you. Had a mission team come in, because we received mission teams a few years back, and someone heard some people swearing down at the soup kitchen, and somebody said, well, listen, man, that's just how lost people act. Now, if it's one of our people, I want to know about it, because we're not supposed to do that, and I'm not going to go jump on, but I'm just saying, sometimes people say things, but when you get in an environment of serving, sometimes it gets messy. But we are called to serve, and serve will strengthen you when you serve. So we're all called to live out our faith and serve in some capacity. Just do something. Someone said, what can I do? I said, you know what? A few years ago, a female came up and says, hey, what can I do? I don't know. I said, listen, I don't know you very well, but you seem to be this encourager. Just keep encouraging people. But don't just encourage by words, face to face. Send some cards out. Do something. Put some effort into that. And so faith without works is dead. That's what James tells us. So we need to use that. 1 Peter 4:10 says, just as one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the very grace of God. So we know that God's given us spiritual gifts, and we're supposed to serve in the church. We're supposed to serve others. This is why some people are on the milk forever. It's time to grow. It's time to grow. Be who God has called you to be. Number six. Number seven, the last one this morning on this topical message is this. Love. You want to grow, you're going to have to learn to love. I don't need to grow in my spiritual walk in the sense of loving my wife. I already love her. She loves me. But Jesus calls us to do some things. We are called to love. We are called to love the Lord our God. We've learned that a couple weeks ago. We are called to love Jesus, and we're called to love our neighbor. But there's also some scriptures that says we are called to love our enemies. That is the hard one. Because an enemy is usually someone that's out to do you harm or has already done you harm. I know in this political raging piece, there's a lot of hate from Christians. Toward this candidate, that candidate, this and that. What's going on in my country? Listen, I wish we had that passion for God's house. I wish we had that passion for the things of God and His kingdom. Take that energy and put it, and I'm telling you, God will adjust that. Yes, listen, lost people act like lost people. Lost people are supposed to act like lost people, but when Christians act like lost people, we find ourselves not being who God wants us to be. Our light has been diminished, and we can't share the light the way that we should. But Luke 6 says this, Jesus says this, but I say unto you, listen, love your enemies. What? This is why they said Jesus' teachings. His teachings are hard. Love your enemies. And you know what? Christians can also be enemies of one another. Because Christians hurt one another. Christians say one another. You know, sometimes Christians get divorced. They do. Sometimes things happen. And we can become enemies with the believers. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be able to love our enemies. He says, do what is good to those who hate you. That's tough. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. That's very difficult because sometimes, you know, you hurt me, that's one thing. A person hurts me, that's one thing. But a person hurts my wife, that's going to be different. Same thing for you guys and your wives, right? And your kids, and especially a mama. You hurt my child, and I'm going to be right up in that. And the Lord says, you know what? We can defend ourselves. There's things that we do, but listen, doesn't mean to be walked over. Doesn't mean this is a wimpy thing. It's actually the strongest of all is to love your enemies. Love your enemies. You know, before we knew Jesus, we were enemy to Him. We didn't live according to the way His Word wants us to live. We lived a sinful life. We weren't worshiping Him. We weren't praying to Him. We were doing whatever we wanted to do. We were in control of our life. We were just living our life, and we were doing it, and we could care less. And some of us may have used His name in vain. Maybe we cursed His name. Maybe we said things. Maybe we just did all those things, and we were an enemy to the Lord. But then I read, but God so loved the world. Jesus isn't asking us to do anything He hasn't done Himself already. Is there a person you struggle with? Is there at least one? Somebody might be saying, Pastor, what are you talking about? I got 10. I got a whole family. And some of it, maybe even our bloodline family that we struggle with so much, because you can't change your blood. But you can change friends. You can drop friends, but you can't change your blood. Your blood is your blood. Your family is family. You can't change that. If you're a Smith, oh, no, Smiths are Smiths. But Jesus says we are to love our enemies. So check this out. Here we are. We're wanting to grow in the Lord, right? I can raise up in the morning and I said, you know what? My phone is like 2 feet away and it's going to work. Nope. I'm going to pray to the Lord. First thing, be a part of this day, Lord. I want you to be a part of this day. God loves to be invited. He loves to be invited. Tax collector invited Jesus. Guess what? He went. Those who all call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. We invite him in. He comes in. I stand at the door and knock. He wants to come in. He wants to be invited. If we invite him in to our first part of our day and we pray, it's going to be a blessing to you. I can say that I'm going to line my steps up. I'm going to line my steps up. Then I'm going to follow the steps that he has for me. And I'm going to start really getting my worship to where it needs to be. Honestly. Really. When's the last time you really worshiped the Lord? I'm not saying it has to be super intimate every time where it's got to be all the bell, all the things. But I mean, your heart, you know. When was the last time you worked? Could you work on your worship? You want to grow? Get that Bible out. Read 2 chapters a day. If you miss a day, don't beat yourself up. The devil will do enough of that. Just get up the next day and say, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it again. It's kind of like some of us that want to keep working out. We don't work out, but in our mind, we're working out, but we ain't working out. But you know what? We keep saying we're going to. And some of you do, so good for you. But also check yourself regularly. You got to check yourself. The only way you really truthfully check yourself is the Lord, check me. Because we'll lie to ourselves. Check me. My attitude, I'm forgiving, and I have peace. And also serve. And then also teach me how to love. Teach me how to love people that don't love me. Teach me how to love someone that broke my heart. Teach me how to love someone that did me wrong. These things can help you grow in your walk with the Lord. This is what I want to see as a pastor. I want to see this church grow more spiritually. And these are 7 ways that you can work on that. And if you say, that's too many, yes, I get it. Pick something so that you can grow in your walk with the Lord. Amen? Amen? All right. I know it's summertime. People are out, but here we are here today, worshiping God, learning from His Word. And I want to grow more too. So let's go ahead and stand. I do want to give an opportunity this morning. If you want to come and you want to pray, our altar is open. This altar is always open. You want to work on, you want to ask God to give you strength on that. Sometimes it's struggling when we want to do something for the Lord and it's just hard.